This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way.
Spilled Milk is brought to you by Kurgo, the stuff that helps you go to the places you want to go with your dog. Go to kurgostore.com/milk to get 30% off dog harnesses, collars, boots, coats, leashes, and car seat covers today.
That's kurgostore.com/milk. I'm Matthew.
And I'm Molly.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we cook something delicious, eat it all, and you can't have any.
Today, we are talking about sour cream.
And I'm a little bit nervous about this episode. I'm not sure, how did we come up with this idea? Because sour cream is not something that I eat very often.
Dreading eating sour cream, like, off a spoon, like I'm pretty sure I'm going to have to do today, since we decided to do this episode.
Well, that's why we have this potato between us. so that we wouldn't have to just eat the sour cream straight. And I got an email this morning from my sister-in-law, Wendy, suggesting that if we're going to taste a bunch of sour cream, we should taste it on frozen French fries, which was a really good idea.
Still frozen?
No. Like cooked, like on, you know, French fries.
Oh, so is that like the lazy man's baked potato?
Yeah, and that seemed like a really good idea, but by the time I got the idea, it was too late to go get some frozen French fries. So sorry.
Okay, well, we're gonna eat a baked potato, which this is the way that most Americans encounter sour cream.
Sure,
on a baked potato. But I have to say, I grew up kind of being a little bit scared of sour cream, and because I grew up in the 80s, we always had cottage cheese in our fridge. I think of this as like an 80s diet food.
Oh, absolutely.
And I loved baked potatoes with cottage cheese.
I think that sounds terrifying. And like, see, I think I still have this long-standing aversion that, you know, I have not by any means fully gotten over to things that are cold, creamy, and savory. Like, that in general just kind of skeeves me out. Like, ranch dressing. Like, I love Cool Ranch Doritos, but ranch dressing, no thanks.
Okay.
And I don't know. I can't think of any other examples, but you know what I mean.
Okay. What about yogurt in savory applications?
Well, like, if it's like cooked into a curry or something. Or
what
even
if
like,
it's like a raita?
I knew you were going to say that. I'm fine with a raita.
Okay,
so
great.
That's as close as I get.
Okay. Well, let's just dive right into this.
Okay, yeah, let's get this
horror
over with.
Show that's going to happen today. Okay, so we have purchased three different brands of full-fat sour cream. I feel like I should say that Matthew and I, you know, in case you haven't noticed, we're big believers in full-fat dairy.
Yep.
There is none of this fat-free or low-fat sour cream BS here today.
Yes, Wendy actually said, unprompted in the email, like, if you would mention on the show that fat-free sour cream is an abomination, like, that would be your good deed for the day.
Yeah, I think that fat-free sour cream is pretty much skim milk with a whole bunch of gums in it.
Yeah.
Like, to give it body.
Some Trident, some Bubblicious.
Yeah.
It's whatever they found.
Okay.
Pre-chewed.
Let's start eating.
Great.
Okay, so should we start with Daisy brand?
Let's start with Daisy brand.
Are we going to start just by eating these?
I don't know.
Nobody does that.
Nobody does that. I bet some people do that. They don't want to talk about it.
Do you have any strawberries?
No.
Oh, we could do the old strawberries, like dipped in sour cream
and brown sugar
thing.
Yes. Yeah. What? Now, wait. What would you have said if I'd said, yes, we do have strawberries in October?
I would have totally scorned you and stopped being
that
your
was
friend.
Like I no, you put me in a total bind.
Okay, so let's look at this. This doesn't look as horrifying as I expected.
No, so there are two things that I like, you know, without having tried it yet, just off the bat about Daisy sour cream. Number one, it is made with it has one ingredient. It has no binders or gums or anything.
As it should be, my friends.
Cultured cream and nothing else.
What? And what is sour cream, Matthew? I feel like this is a good time to talk about what is sour cream.
This on this sour cream episode, that does seem like a good time to talk about what is sour cream. So there are all these fermented milk products, and you know, I feel like I understand a little bit about what makes them different. So like, you know, what's the difference between like sour cream and yogurt and creme fraiche? So the main differences between these things are like what type of dairy product do you start with? Is it cream or is it milk? Or you know, butter. At what culture do you put in? Like what mix of bacteria?
Okay.
And then at what temperature do you incubate it? Do you ferment it? So I believe sour cream, you know, it starts with cream, so it's got a lot of fat. You use some sour cream oriented culture, and you ferment it at a pretty warm temperature.
Oh, this Daisy brand sour cream is gorgeous.
It really is. It's got
a little bit of a grainy look to it, but a really nice texture. It's like softly whipped whipped cream. Let's just eat it.
Okay. That's really good.
It's really good, but I agree with you. Like, there's this, I have to really struggle with some savory dairy products because it has such a dairy flavor.
Yeah.
Which is wonderful. That's what you want in a sour cream. But boy, I don't know that I like eating it off a spoon.
No, I mean, I wouldn't do it again. Now, we're going to get to, there is a way that I think I'm going to enjoy eating it off a spoon. We're going to get to that in a little bit.
Okay. Hey, so should we now eat the Daisy on the baked potato?
Yeah, let's try it on the baked potato. Do we want salt?
Here, you put some on your baked potato.
I'm taking
the bigger potato.
That's the kind of friend you are. Like,
yeah.
I'll take the bigger slice of cake.
You know,
it definitely needed salt.
This potato definitely needed butter.
Yeah.
But that is really nice. I get that.
We should like continue opening and tasting sour creams as we go. But like, what are other things that people put sour cream on? And I say people because I don't.
Okay. People put sour cream on nachos.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that is a really nice thing. I love the combination of like hot cheese and cool sour cream. I think that's one of the beauties of sour cream. You usually use it on something that's hot.
Theoretically, I can appreciate that idea. I think that's like that temperature contrast may be part of what skews me out of it. I have a lot of issues. I didn't realize I had so many issues until we started doing this show.
You're exhausting.
I am. I can't even handle being around myself sometimes. So I know that it's good on chili. Like it's in a burrito, like a taco, like I think in any of these, like a
pureed vegetable soup, like a little dollop of that. It's also a great thing to bake with. I believe that Amanda Hesser's wonderful almond cake uses sour cream.
I don't know that recipe.
Oh my God, it's so good.
Why haven't you brought it over?
Sorry. Okay, hold on. I'm going to taste the next kind.
Okay. What do we got?
So this is Organic Valley organic sour cream. Let's see what's in it, shall we?
Where is the Organic Valley located?
This is more specific. This has cultured pasteurized. Oh, cultured pasteurized non-fat milk, organic pasteurized cream, acidophilus and bifidus cultures, and microbial enzyme. So basically, it's got, you know, the good bacteria plus cream plus non-fat milk. Do you think that's non-fat milk powder?
Does it have less fat per serving than the Daisy?
For 2 tablespoons, we got 5 grams here.
Yep, same as this one. I don't. So it might. Yeah.
Do you think the non-fat milk is just like powder form to give it body?
I think they have to say powder, though, if it's powder.
That's gross. Organic Valley.
Let's try. Maybe it's
organic
fine.
Organic Valley. Make sour cream with cream. Ooh. Oh.
Nope.
I don't like that. Ooh.
It's like funky in a bad way.
Funky in a really bad way. God, why are we doing this show in the morning?
I don't know.
Making my stomach turn.
I have so much other stuff to do today, but like I'm going to have to lie down.
I need to eat a bite of potato to make that go away. Ugh.
I'm glad that we've determined that there are clearly some real differences here. I was kind of afraid they were all going to all taste the same.
This is too funky. It's very yogurty and not in a way that I want.
Yeah, it's not, I don't think the flavors are necessarily bad. It's just like unexpected and like you know, it just doesn't have the purity of the daisy.
Mm-hmm.
The purity of the daisy.
Matthew, would you like to stir up the next one? Which bills itself as tastiest, richest, creamiest. Dairy
Gold. Okay, so this is Dairy Gold. Oh, boy, this one's got a laundry list of ingredients. Oh, boy, I'm curious here. Okay, so cultured milk and cream, whey, modified cornstarch, sodium phosphate, carrageenan, calcium sulfate, locust bean gum, guar gum, and potassium sorbate to protect freshness.
It has sort of an unpleasant stiffness. Could that be from all the gums?
Oh, it could be.
Oh, Matthew, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do
We're almost done.
This is like when I'm getting the tangles out of June's hair in the bathtub, and she's like, almost done, almost done, almost done, soon, done soon.
This is making me cry. I'm very vulnerable in the morning.
Okay. Tastes like whipped cream.
I like that better than the Organic Valley one. Because it doesn't have that weird funkiness to it. It doesn't have much flavor at all.
Mm-hmm. I can see why people who don't like a lot of flavor and just want sort of creaminess, people who aren't looking for like a big round creamy dairy flavor, but they want the creaminess.
Have you tried sour cream from the big round creamy dairy? That's the best.
Shut up, man.
Yeah, I mean, this one's kind of inoffensive.
Yeah, it's inoffensive.
I don't think I want to do any more potato.
No more potato. Are you feeling ill? You know what I'm really scared of? I'm really scared of tasting the creme fraiche.
Yeah, we have like three more creamy things that we have to taste. You know,
let's talk about creme fraiche.
Listeners, we do this all for you, so I hope you appreciate it.
Ugh.
This episode is brought to you by Homesteady Podcast, which is a fun podcast about homesteading, hunting, fishing, growing, raising livestock. It's pretty amazing. We've listened to a couple of episodes. The creator of Homesteady and the proprietor of Squash Hollow Farm in Connecticut is Austin Martin, who is a Spilled Milk listener, and he wanted us to tell you about his show.
And I'm here to report that even as city folk, which Matthew and I are, I listened to the show and found myself really captivated. Like, I both learned a tremendous amount about like raising animals, about like the role that food plays in our lives. And, you know, it doesn't mean I'm going to go out and raise pigs, but I really enjoyed listening to this show.
Yeah, so I listened to an episode about egg-laying chickens, which made me not want to do that, but it was fascinating.
I listened to a show about raising chickens for meat, and it kind of made me want to do that.
Yeah, I agree. That was a really good episode. I think that would be a great episode for people to start with, and we'll link to that from the SpilledMilkPodcast.com site. It was about how his family does not buy any meat. They get all of their meat through hunting and raising meat on their farm. And, you know, these are things that I have literally no experience with whatsoever. And I found it fascinating.
Yeah, I feel like Austin is a really real and relatable person. And he's a wonderful storyteller.
Most of what I know about farming, I learned listening to the Homesteady Podcast. And yet I felt like I could totally relate to
you
the
can
kind
totally
of stuff
hang
that they
now. Go. Yeah, you can hang.
Oh, yeah. No, now I know all about farming. I'm a total expert.
Yeah.
Thank you, Homesteady. Mm-hmm. So we will link to the show and a couple of recommended episodes from SpilledMilkPodcast.com, but you can find it at thisishomesteady.com or search for Homesteady on iTunes or Stitcher. It's a terrific show. Enjoy it. All right. So what is creme fraiche?
Well, basically, it is a lot like sour cream. It's usually a little less sour and a little richer tasting. And isn't it higher in fat?
Yeah, it's more French.
How does it get higher in fat when it's just made from cream?
I think it's higher in fat because of two reasons. So like these sour creams, all of them, except maybe the daisy, have been diluted with a little bit of milk. So we're not starting with like quite 36% fat cream. And the creme fraiche that I made, I made my own creme fraiche, people.
Oh, my God.
I made it from Fresh Breeze Organic Cream, which is 40% fat. So that's like as high as it gets. I'm as high as it gets.
Should we go ahead and talk about how you made your own creme fraiche?
Oh, please. Let's talk about it. There seems to be literally one creme fraiche recipe, not even a recipe, a method that if you Google how to make creme fraiche, it will come up over and over. It is 1 cup of cream, 2 tablespoons of buttermilk. You stir the buttermilk in, you let it sit at room temperature for a day or so until it's clearly thickened, but still just like slightly pourable. Mm-hmm. And then you refrigerate it.
Cool. Okay.
And let's taste it and see how it differs from the sour cream. It may have like a skin on the top. Yeah, it has a skin on the top.
I think this is the way it used to look back in the olden days.
Whoa.
Oh my God.
It's like,
I'm going to puke. Oh my God.
But in the right context, it would be good, right?
This is the thing. I know I'm supposed to love creme fraiche.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. But it almost always makes me want to hurl.
Well, it's
so dairy-y.
It's cheesy.
It's very cheesy. You know, the way that I like using it best is in sort of a diluted form, like putting a little bit in cream.
The sense that you have to dilute yourself before eating it?
Putting a little bit in cream and then whipping it. So you get a whipped cream that's got a little bit of a, like, a, just sort of depth of flavor, a little sourness to it.
You're right. Straight, this is too much.
Straight, this makes me want to die.
What
would you do with that?
I don't know. I'm going to put it back in the fridge and pretend I'm going to do something with it. And then in a few days, I'm going to throw it out.
Oh, maybe, you know, maybe your wife would bake something with it. Like, I'm pretty sure you could put that in something.
Yes. So I'm not saying I would use the creme fraiche for this necessarily, but I was going to mention when you said using sour cream in baking, that there is this awesome Cook's Illustrated recipe called Individual Coffee Cakes. I believe it can be found in the book The Quick Recipe,
sour cream,
or possibly
coffee cake.
Possibly Baking Illustrated. I will figure that out and let you know. But it's like individual size sour cream coffee cakes with like streusel baked in a muffin tin, so they're like cupcake sized, and then you put a little drizzle of glaze on top. So great.
Mm.
I believe I'm going to be having those for breakfast tomorrow.
Oh yes, I think I might go home and make that Amanda Hesser almond cake.
And then you'll come back and bring me some.
Yes. The other thing that I feel like I should say about sour cream is that people like to use it as a cheesecake topping.
I'm glad you mentioned that. Mm-hmm. So my mom is a proponent of this. I think it's terrific, like sweetened sour cream cheesecake topping. It's like,
don't like it.
You don't like it?
Mm-mm.
I love it. I think it's a wonderful counterpoint to the sweetness of the cheesecake. It's like got a different dairy flavor. It all comes together really nicely.
Does your mom make a cheesecake that has this on top?
Oh, absolutely. So,
Judy, please, will you make that cheesecake and give me some?
And give me some too. Yes. So here's the thing. I'm glad we did this episode, despite how painful it's been so far, because it enabled me to crack a cold case. You know how on TV and in detective novels, they're always like going and digging back into cold cases, and like the chief
Speaking
is like,
of which, OMG, have you watched? Did you hear me say OMG?
I just heard that. It's on tape.
Have you watched True Detective?
No, I haven't. I've heard it's amazing. It's like, it's got like a, is it
Matthew McConaughey?
And who's the other one? Woody Harrelson?
Woody Harrelson.
Okay.
Usually I'm not a big Matthew McConaughey fan, but
I like Matthew McConaughey.
He's kind of gaunt in this, and he's such a wonderful actor, and I really want to do him in this show. I like how kind of gaunt he is.
I may watch it for different reasons, but I thought he was great in that lawyer movie. Did you see The Lincoln Lawyer?
No.
He's really good, kind of sleazy, like, you know, like a greasy lawyer. Good movie. Anyway, he was great in Dazed and Confused. Thanks for listening to our Matthew McConaughey episode. What was I even talking about?
I
cracked a cold case.
Oh.
You know how like the chief was telling me, like, stop working on that cold case. Like, you're wasting the department's time and money.
Yeah.
Get the hell out of my office. God, I love it. There's no character, a stock character I love more than the angry police chief. Anyway, I still don't know what I'm talking about. Okay, this is the cold case. Wow. I'm one of America's most gifted storytellers. Like, This American Life, you've got my number.
Okay, go on.
I'm a regular Mike Birbiglia. Okay.
Oh, I love Mike Birbiglia.
I do, too. Here's this. This was the mystery. I had this memory of my mom giving me for a treat sweetened sour cream, like off a spoon, like, you know, to be enjoyed as you would a pudding. And I thought this was awesomely delicious. And but like, you know, I remember this is like one of my earliest memories from when I was like, you know, 5 years old.
Are we going to make this today?
We are going to make this today. But the case I cracked, which it was like, why, where did she get this idea and why was she doing this? It was the byproduct of making the sour cream topping for the cheesecake. You know, she had some extra sour cream topping. Let's spoon it into this kid's mouth. Smart move.
Oh, I love your mom.
Yeah, I mean, it was like, you know, the equivalent of licking the beater. And like, yeah, I was so excited when I figured this out last night.
Great. Okay.
And then confirmed it with my mom. It's truth. I cracked the case. The chief and I will be downtown receiving medals.
Great.
I'm not sure who the chief is in this scenario. Okay, so we are back with the... Remember when I cracked that cold case?
Yes.
And won't stop talking about it?
Yes, go on.
Okay, so we've got some sour cream topping like you would put on a cheesecake.
Okay.
It's a quarter cup of sour cream with 1 tablespoon of powdered sugar.
Oh, powdered sugar.
Right. I was wondering about that because I was imagining like if you used granulated sugar, it would be kind of grainy and use powdered sugar.
Ah, cool.
So let's try it.
And you used the dairy sour cream.
Daisy.
As opposed to that vegan sour cream. Oh.
Pretty good, right?
Yeah, that's like, pretty good.
You should go home and spoon some of this into your kid's mouth.
Mm-hmm.
That'll teach her to back sass.
It only makes me want to barf a little bit.
Great. That's on your roster of like rankings. That's pretty much the highest, right?
Yeah. What it does is it sort of tempers the funky sort of finish of sour cream.
Yes. Gag me, but only with a demi-tasse spoon.
Okay. You know, we shouldn't forget to mention that sour cream is like the classic thing on chili and stews.
Yes, but also like as a topping for chili and stews, but also like if you make a goulash or paprikash or
stroganoff.
Beef stroganoff, like all those things have sour cream as an ingredient. And sometimes you like temper the sour cream, which is kind of fun. Have you ever done this?
Mm-hmm,
where you stir a little bit of hot broth, you know, stewing liquid into the sour cream so it doesn't curdle, and then you pour it all in and whisk it all up. That's a use of sour cream that I unconditionally support.
You know, there's a recipe that I once found in Gourmet magazine, and I made it for a New Year's Eve a few years ago. I think I wrote about it on my blog, and it does a similar thing with creme fraiche. It's basically like a really elegant sort of fish stew. You make a fish broth and then you kind of enrich it with creme fraiche, and I think you serve that with like sort of just chunks of fish in it and scallops.
That sounds good.
It's really delicate with some chives on top. It's so good. Anyway, that's a use for creme fraiche. Similar.
Okay.
Great.
I can't think of any other uses for any of these things because my brain feels like a big lump of quivering over thickened sour cream. Is there anything else we're supposed to talk about?
No, let's just finish this.
Can this day be over?
It's only 9:32 a.m.
Oh boy, the things we do.
The things we do for you.
What do you think is a topic that would be even worse than this? I mean, like if we did an egg salad episode, sure, that would be worse for me.
For me, I don't like cold meat jelly. And I know we did that sweetened on one of our junk food episodes.
Which you refused to taste.
Mm-hmm. But I, you know, like even when I roast a chicken and then maybe I cut it up into parts and put it in the fridge, the next day when I go to pull the parts out and there's like jellied chicken stuff on there, I know I'm supposed to be psyched about that's like flavorful and whatever, but I just want to gag.
But are you supposed to be psyched about it like that you're going to eat it in
no.
its jellied form?
No,
I don't think so.
No.
But at the same time, like, you know, aspics, that was like a big thing at one time, right?
It was never a big thing with me.
I mean, I think it was a big thing, like mainly before we were born.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's definitely do that meat jelly episode. Good idea. I'm going to put it on the list. It's basically like a cold case from our past.
Yes. Okay. Well, we'll keep thinking about this. You let us know if based on listening to prior episodes, you can think of things that Matthew and I would be revolted to do in a full
episode.
That
is a good idea, and I wish you hadn't said it. No. I would like to hear this weekend. We will feel free to ignore any and all suggestions.
I think that our listeners often remember old episodes of this show better than we do. And so I think they're going to be able to piece together things that we hate.
No, can I tell you how many times I've had this conversation? Someone says, oh, you host a food podcast. Like, what are some things you've talked about on the show?
And you're like,
Yeah. And then I run away.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let's wrap this up.
Yeah, thank you for listening to Spilled Milk. No, that's not how we start. You can find us online at spilledmilkpodcast.com, where we'll post, try and find a link to that individual coffee cakes recipe, anything else important that we're going to link to? I don't know. thanks for helping out.
No problem.
You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/spilledmilkpodcast.
You can find us on iTunes. You probably already found us there.
You can leave us a review. Like, I felt almost as sick as they did listening to this episode. And until next time, thank you for listening to Spilled Milk,
the show that only makes you want to puke a little bit.
I'm Matthew Amster Wharton.
I'm Molly Weisenberg.
And that's still my foot.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.